welcome to WonderPod, episode 28. I am joined, as always, this week by Gunsage.
Tension rises higher and higher.
Yeah, people are being hit by cars. And also Patrick.
What's going on, people? Episode number 28. Now that we're on iTunes, we're totally famous and shit.
That's what they told us, anyways. Get on iTunes, you've made it. It's like going to Hollywood. We're going to be sucking cocks at a restaurant here soon. That's probably what's going to happen, instead of getting famous. Gunsage, what have you been playing this week?
Well, I have been playing some more Dragon Quest IX, as requested by Dan. I shall talk about it. It's still awesome. There, I talked about it. I've also played a little bit of Hydra Thunder, got Limbo, went through it. I'm probably going to go through it again soon, because it's just... like I said, it still reminds me of Out of This World, and I loved Out of This World, and a bunch of other games like that, Flashback and whatever else, so I'm definitely going to go through that again. What else? I've been playing some more Alien Swarm. Anything else? I did download the downloadable content for Alan Wake, but I haven't tried it out yet. I finally got my redemption code for that. Not a whole lot else. Mostly just Dragon Quest IX, and I guess we'll see if Hydro Thunder works out tonight or not.
Patrick, what have you been playing?
Well, speaking of Hydro Thunder, that's the newest game that I've been playing. What's it? Hydro Thunder Hurricane, I believe, is the exact title for it. It's a very fun arcade-style Xbox Live Arcade title, for those of you that don't know what it is, that all three of us have downloaded it just yesterday. It's pretty darn fun, and really is what, in my opinion, an Xbox Live Arcade title is all about. It's bright, colorful, fast, fun, you know, racing game at a very low price tag of, what is it, less than $15, somewhere between $10 and $15. For those of you that don't know the Hydro Thunder games from the arcades, they're, well, very arcade-style, over-the-top, racing titles, almost like a cross between the very famous Wave Race 64 on the N64 and San Francisco Rush in the arcades. It's kind of like the bastard love child of those two games. All sorts of crazy events happen in this boat racing game. Ghost ships are chasing you. Giant water monsters knocking you the crap over, like happened to me. UFOs try to abduct you. And, you know, as you try to win the races, you have shortcuts, hidden areas, items to pick up, turbo boosts, all sorts of stuff you would expect from a fun arcade racer. Single player, multiplayer modes, all are really cool. Visuals are really good for $15 game. I don't have a lot of complaints. Controls are a little bit loose, but you get used to it. There's better water textures, I guess, but those are in full retail games that, they're $59, not $14.99 or $10 or whatever the hell it was. So we could compare the game to a full retail racing game, you know, and it would come out behind, it wouldn't be as good, but we would look like total morons if we did, because it's not a full retail game. It's a downloadable game, you know? There's a few websites, message boards, blogs, and reviews that are making the mistake of comparing this cheap downloadable game to full-priced games, and really giving Hydro Thunder the short end of the stick, I think. Play the demo. If you have any friends, you're going to love it online. We had great fun yesterday. You know, it's just, I recommend it. It's plain arcade fun, and it's good. What else have I played? After listening to you two gentlemen talk about Limbo last episode, I went and I played the demo for myself this week, and you know, what can I say that hasn't already been said by all the Twitters and all the indie fans? It is a very artistic game, really nicely done, and again, just like Hydro Thunder, a very good price tag and downloadable on Xbox Live Arcade. I like the black and white, gray, gloomy visuals. They're really creepy and cool at the same time. Without a doubt, one of the games you would showcase in any "are games really a form of art" debate, this would be "yes, they are." You know, however, as great as it looked and as cool as the premise is, I didn't buy the full version after playing the demo. I found the game, honestly, to be, I don't know, a little slow, I guess, is how I would compare it for a platform game. I was hoping for more platforming, less puzzle solving, or at least a faster pace. I like it. I can see why it has generated so much buzz, but I can wait for it to go on a deal sometime in the Christmas time, you know? Check it out. It's really good. I just personally think that maybe it's a bit overhyped. Aside from those two games, I've been playing a little bit of Alien Swarm. What I'd like to do is go and play it in first-person shooter mode. There's a pretty easy way of hacking it or modding it or however you PC guys call it. And it looked okay. I saw it on YouTube. It looks like it would be harder in first-person mode. It really does, because you don't have the top-down view. You don't know where these aliens are coming from until you go around a corner and see them. So in that aspect, it might make Alien Swarm a harder PC game. Of course, it's not designed to be a first-person shooter, so there's some flaws. Like, if you look up into the roof, there is no roof, because you're looking top-down at the real version of it. So, you know, it's interesting. I'm going to really want to try it in first-person. Aside from that, nothing on the Wii. Surprise, surprise. And my wife has reclaimed the DS, so I probably won't be playing that for a few weeks. So, yeah, that's all I've been playing this week.
Okay, I did two arcade titles, and then I basically sold my soul to Satan and hypocrited myself. But we'll get into that in a minute. First off, still playing Limbo. I will finish it at some point, but I always take puzzle games in bites because it's just always the way I played them. I agree with Patrick that it's probably a little bit slow for some gamers' tastes. I don't know if I really agree on the overhyped part. All games are overhyped, but this one probably comes as close to its hype, as I've seen in a while. But again, you know, Patrick and I are different people, so we see things a little differently. But still, it's a good game. As Patrick said, check it out in the demo form at least. I enjoy the puzzles. I never thought about it as, you know, it's like, well, it's a platformer. Well, it is, but it's a puzzle platformer. So I'm not sure on the speed thing. I like the speed. And then, of course, I also downloaded the Hydro Thunder Hurricane Xbox Arcade game. I really love it, but I love racing games. I mean, it's, like I said, I'm not sure if some of the guys that are reviewing it remember the Hydro Thunder 64, which was obviously on the N64, and are having like these childhood flashbacks, and this super souped up HD version isn't living up to their childhood memories or what the deal is. It is a bit repetitive, but it's a racing game. All racing games are repetitive, but it's a lot of fun. We had what I'd like to call two segments of online last night. The first was me and Patrick and a listener of the show, Glacinator. We played that probably for 10 races, just the three of us. Had a really great time. Then we braved the online world of randoms, except in a few instances, some we'll talk about later. You know, it was also a good time. We played it for an entire night. There was no bitching and griping. There was no, well, you're not being a good teammate. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. It was pretty much every man for himself. Everybody was having a good time, trash talking each other. So for that kind of fun in one night's time, to me, it's easily worth $15. Now for the part where I hypocrited myself. I have said on this show numerous times that I hate betas and that I don't play them. Well, I got a code for the new Medal of Honor multiplayer beta. I couldn't figure out a good, easy, simple way to give it to Patrick, so I downloaded it and I've played it. I've played 2 rounds of the one game type they give you and 2 rounds of the other game type they give you. Well, the first game type is called Mission. It is basically Rush-like. So if you've played Battlefield Rush, it's similar to that. They give you different tasks than, say, a traditional Rush-type game. It's pretty standard. I mean, if you're going into the Medal of Honor beta or the Medal of Honor multiplayer looking for something new and innovative, then they've changed the face of first-person shooter gaming, then you're going to be disappointed. What I will give them credit for, especially in this first one where it was in a more open, hilly area, they did a really good job with making the art crisp and making the ambient sounds appropriate and just confusing enough that you got to really pay attention. All the mechanics of it and all the art in it that I've seen so far really, really look good. The basic gameplay is the same as COD or Battlefield, but who cares? I don't really know what else they could have done at this point. Then you have the second game type that I played in this beta, which was basically Team Deathmatch. They're calling it Squad Deathmatch. It's in a smaller map area, although both maps don't, in my mind, come up to Battlefield standards in size. You're in a city environment in the one I played on the beta. The thing I noticed that was different than, say, COD is if you had a good squad of 4 guys who get along well and work together, you could probably really clean up on this game type. Different than you could in other death matches. Now, that could turn out to be completely full of shit with the full version, but from what I saw of the beta, especially with what they've done with the art and the mechanics and what the Frostbite engine looks like in this configuration, I've been pretty impressed with it. I think it's all on EA now to give us a good single player story to go along with this multiplayer, and they may have a hit on their hands. I still don't like playing betas. Let's see. I had to reload it twice to get into a game of Mission, the one game type, and I had to reload it three times to get into the team deathmatch or squad deathmatch game type, which my guess is a byproduct of betas and why I don't still particularly like to play them. Although I did enjoy playing this one for the most part, if for no other reason than to bring it to you fine listeners. And really, I mean, other than, you know, other nightly stuff, a little bit of World of Warcraft, that's all I've been playing.
Yeah.
I just got a text message. LOL, it's no Halo Reach beta. Halo rules. That has been the rabid foaming fanboy segment of the show. Patrick.
Oh, man.
What? Go ahead, Gunsage.
Oh, I was just going to say, you should have seen on the Xbox site on Facebook, they keep on talking about Halo Reach and the Halo Reach beta and all this other stuff. And I got a surprising amount of feedback just by going, you know, all I really want to know is if Kinect will be in use in it so I can actually get achievements for teabagging people.
Great. Antagonizing the Halo fanboys. Patrick, do you have any specific questions you'd like to ask about the beta, or are we good on that?
A lot of people are saying, it seems like there's two camps of those that I've talked about who've heard it. Some of them are just not impressed at all. They say, I have Call of Duty 4, or Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, and I have Battlefield Bad Company 2, and I, you know, is it worth getting it? So far, I know we haven't played the single player. From what you've played in the multiplayer, which is what we will be doing more than likely when we pick up the title, is it worth it if you own both Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 and Battlefield, in your opinion?
Oh, yeah, because it's the classes are different enough. It's not COD and it's not Battlefield. The irrational shitheads, and yes, I know who it was, that are screaming that are just looking for a reason to shit on EA or to shit on some franchise or another. I mean, there's obviously elements of both franchises there, but the way the weapons handle, the kind of tactics I was seeing used when I actually got on decent teams, I think there's enough there to make it worth your while. And here's the other thing. All of the kiddies with mommy and daddy's money are going to be leaving COD and Battlefield to go play this. It's new. You know, they don't have enough brains in their head to, even if it was not worth it, they don't have enough brains in their head to realize, you know, hey, I could just stay with this. So unless you're a diehard Halo fanboy, which since this game's coming out a couple months after Halo, you know, you're really probably going to get some good online multiplayer. You're probably going to have to buy it anyway. But, you know, I saw enough that was different and intriguing that I'm not too worried about that. Now, I may be coming back on this show and, you know, in sometime in October and saying, oh my God, the single player sucked and the multiplayer wasn't different enough from Battlefield and COD. You know, that's a real possibility. But at the same token, I'll ask you this in return, Patrick. How are they supposed to not get compared to those two franchises? Oh. I mean, that's kind of my thing.
Yeah, that's definitely true, especially since DICE is the one who developed Battlefield, for God's sake. So yeah, it's hard to say. You know, they will be compared, and more than likely, I'm going to pick this game up. Like you said, it's shiny new and it's different, so why not? I was just curious what you thought, seeing that. That seems to be the big question amongst people, you know, is it worth it when you already have the two similar games?
Well, and maybe, you know, and let me start over. I'm not going to say that they're wrong for doing it or for thinking it, but you got to look at just more than the game types you're given. You know, how do the weapons handle? How does it look? How's the cover? You know, how are the mechanics and controls? I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not just going to base it on, oh, it's Rush and it's Team Deathmatch. Well, if I was going to base it on that and then unfairly compare it, I'd still be playing COD 1. I would, you know, I wouldn't have bought anything after the original Call of Duty or after the original Halo. I mean, come on. Has anything in the Halo franchise changed so significantly? Significantly in the multiplayer setting of, you know, up to this point, I'm not saying including Reach, but up to 3 or ODS Garbage Factory, if you want to add that in. I mean, seriously, has anything that significantly changed in it, Patrick?
Not much aside from Firefight, which didn't work out very well because they had to be people on your friends list. There was no random, but no, not much has changed.
Yeah, so see, I mean, I can see that if you're just, you know, I could see the reasons for the comparisons, but in a multiplayer setting, again, it's kind of, to drag this out just a little further, we've discussed before about how single players, you know, like almost dead, this and that. Considering that these multiplayers are becoming pretty much more and more the same time and time again, just with different graphics. I'm also already starting to think that maybe single player will make a comeback, because you're going to have somebody to hook in gamers who aren't just there to get 50 kills a night and scream on message boards that they're the greatest thing since the first guy to ever play Quake, you know. So I'm still wait and see on it. I'm a little bit more excited for COD Black Ops than I am this one, but as much time as they've invested in this game and as much stink as they've made about it being in present day Afghanistan, and let me tell you what, from all the pictures and stuff and video footage and all that I've seen of Afghanistan, they nailed this. I mean, the cityscape looks a little bit like that map that we used to hide in the comic shop on COD, Patrick.
Right.
But it's not like dead on the same, you know, and there's a lot of stuff going on there when you start, you know, moving around a little less and stop worrying so much about getting kills and deaths and looking at the time and effort they put into it. They actually did a really good job. I think they knew that there was going to be comparisons and they just did the best they could and went from there. So for a beta, and again, it's a beta, you know, it's like handing me a pre-alpha of something and going, well, do you think it's going to be better than COD? Well, how the hell should I know? You know, so time will tell.
I think something's changed between the Halo games.
And that is?
Better stuff's come out.
You mean better shooters than Halo?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say that, and also you were talking about as far as they need to go ahead and refine the single-player mode because people are getting sick and tired of these achievement whores online going, holy shit, I got to get 50 kills in this round so I can get the 50-kill achievement, you know, and all that. Wouldn't it be awesome, because they did a sort of self-referential thing like this on Deathspank also, if they made a first-person shooter where it's like, it was almost like a Matt Hazard where your guy knew that he was, like, you know, the character in a game going around and shooting bad guys and different stuff like that, and maybe in one part you have to deal with the most obnoxious gamer in the world who's going around and doing all this crazy shit, doing wall clips and shit, and you have to eventually fight him. He's like, no, my achievements!
That would be comical, but that's not necessarily why I think single players are going to get stronger. I think it's going to be, they're going to have to use it as a selling point, unless they come up with some new game types for the multiplayer. But anyway, if you've got a beta code, try it for yourself. You know, who knows? It's going to get compared. There's no two ways around it, but I bet you a dollar to a donut, a lot of the people going, oh, it's nothing better than COD, shuffle off to the GameStop to buy it anyway, because that's how we do things. We scream and holler, we're not going to buy something, and it sucks, and it's because it's better, it's worse than this, on the internet, and then we go scuttle off the GameStop and buy it.
Well, that never happens. Oh, no. Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah. Modern Warfare 2 and the no dedicated servers, we're not buying it. I want to pack that screenshot around with me in like an 8x11 form and just, you know, here's your protest, piss off. You know, because everybody went and bought it. It's like,
here's your sign for gamers.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, Patrick, let's do the listener questions first.
Okay. We have several questions this week from listeners of the podcast. First question comes from one of our listeners that we play quite frequently online with, Glacinator. This is a Nintendo question for a change here. So he asks us, what is your favorite Zelda game and why? So Gunsage, why don't you go ahead and answer that question first?
I've been thinking about this one pretty much all day. I have three, and I'm going to sort them, and I also have three bottom ones, but I'll just try to go ahead and go through them real quickly. My third favorite would be Twilight Princess. It was a really, really well done one. Honestly, it didn't have quite the impact that Ocarina of Time did for me, but it was still a really well made one. Definitely has the best graphics in the series, best soundtrack, some of the best dungeons even. And they actually got Hyrule Field right, which is something that I think that Zelda 64 was really lacking. It was just real flat and kind of bleh. Link to the Past would be my second favorite because it's literally the best traditional top-down Zelda game. Even Minish Cap for the Game Boy Advance is still not quite to the level that Link to the Past was at. It was a really well-made one. And, of course, my favorite's still Zelda 64, just because, well, partially it was the impact. They did so many new things. It's still fun to go back and play it a few different times. And also, sorry, Mom. Yeah, that's where my lunch money went for a couple of months, me not eating at school. So, there you go. Well, I can say also, the worst Zelda game I've played anyway, because I haven't played the CDI ones or they'd be right there, is Wind Waker. And a lot of people give the game same shit. They mostly give it shit for the cel-shaded style and everything. I give it shit because it doesn't even have a Hyrule field. It has the motherfucking ocean. And the worst part is it's blue on blue. Blue sky, blue ocean, fucking nothing else. And, yeah, it's basically fucking Suikoden 4, except with less islands. It got really fucking boring for me after a while. And I was willing to give the cel-shading a pass because I was like, well, it looks like a coloring book, but okay, it's still Zelda. It still has the classic elements and stuff, but no, I just kept on wandering around in the ocean, even knowing where I was going, I'm like, this is fucking annoying. It's not interesting. It's not fun. It's just annoying.
Treasure hunting part, there where you had to go find treasures there at Wind Waker was really ridiculous. When you had to go fishing for treasures, yikes.
My favorite's gonna be Ocarina of Time. Not so much because it's the best Zelda ever, but because it's the one I remember the best. That's right, folks. I'm still young, but I have Alzheimer's. Feel sorry for me. No, seriously, I mean, it's the one I've spent the most time with. Now, minus the water temple from hell. It was the most fun for me. Link to a Past, I'd forgotten the name of that one, but I do remember spending hours on that one with my cousin way back in the good old days with wagons and we churned our own butter and all that shit. But no, seriously, Ocarina of Time is probably my favorite. I had Navi as my cell phone ringtone for a while just for no other reason than it annoyed the shit out of people. And then it finally annoyed me, and so I got rid of it. But no, I'm gonna have to go with that one. I played a little bit of Twilight Princess, but not enough to like even talk about it. So there you go. Patrick, what about you?
Favorite Zelda game. This was a pretty hard one. I thought, of course, at first it would be easy. I'd really like to take this as an opportunity to thank Nintendo for making these amazing games that are filled with literally magic and great memories over the years. I think all three of us have talked about Zelda games we played and, you know, the memories involved. But I first thought, like I said, this would be easy for me, and I thought it was going to be the original Nintendo Entertainment System classic, The Legend of Zelda. It had the gold cartridge, which at the time was super cool and really neat. It had that absolutely massive map that came with the game. I think it was a first for console games, having that huge map, and I think it said something on it like, do not open unless stuck, or something like that, and I did that. I didn't open the damn map until I got stuck, and it was cool. It was a great concept. Really the first game that probably got me addicted to playing Nintendo and really sent me on my path of video game obsession. I loved trying to find all the treasures and the dungeons. It was really great experience. When I beat the game, it was very satisfying. I love fighting that last boss. But, you know, the more I thought about it, it's not my favorite Zelda game. It's up there, definitely. My favorite game would be, surprise, surprise, Zelda OOT on the N64. I mean, this game is amazing. It was at its time, and maybe still is today, pretty much a perfect 10 out of 10. You know, I think maybe it still is. The 3D adventure over a massive world and the time travel storyline and everything about it was well done and addictive. I love the ending movie. I still look at it today occasionally on YouTube just for the memories. Even with that annoying water temple that you're talking about, Bruce, I tell you, I was stuck on it for a long time. It almost stopped me from finishing the game. Zelda Ocarina of Time is my favorite Zelda game. One of the greatest games of all time, I have to say. It was really hard to choose between the original Zelda and the N64 classic, but yeah, I think Zelda OOT is the best Zelda and quite possibly the best game ever.
Quick thing, you jarred my memory. First off, I remember my cousin having that map hung in like his little gaming spot for
cool.
years. I think he opened it before he got stuck. But wasn't the original one, the gold cartridge, wasn't it like really expensive for the time? And people were... there was one of those Zeldas that was like, it went to a range of how much it costs that had people flipping out at the time. Like today it would be nothing. It was like the $40 range or something like that. And I thought it was the original, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. When I bought it, and I bought my NES, it was really at the very, very, very end of the NES life cycle, so maybe I bought it when it was already dropped in price. Gunsage, do you know, do you remember the
It wasn't the special version for the N64. It was before the 64. It was either Super NES or NES.
I don't remember if there was a gold cartridge version for the Super Nintendo one or not. That's possible, but I don't think there was a normal version, like a non-gold version for either one of the Zelda games for the NES. I don't think it costs more, though.
It was one of them. I'll look it up at some point, and we'll come back to it. But the map thing kind of triggered that, and we don't need to spend a bunch of time on it. We'll look it up and get back to you, fine listeners. Do you have another question over there, Patrick?
We have another question, this time from G, a very faithful listener of the show. He was talking in regards to video games. I challenge all to present some favorite games that revolve around ridiculous repetition and gameplay. So, Gunsage, you got any?
I'm a little confused as to the question, because all games are repetitive. You guys go ahead and provide some examples, because I'm not really sure what he's talking about.
Bruce, you want to go ahead, or should I?
You go ahead.
Okay, I think he means, like, just games that just keep repeating over and over again. And I got a few here. Let's see. Pac-Man. I mean, there's a video game that was absolutely ridiculously repetitive. I mean, the maze never changed. It was the same maze at all times, and those little dots never changed, and where the power pellets never changed, and chasing after the ghosts where the ghosts reappeared was the same. So, I mean, there's a very, very repetitive game that was also very awesome. I think this is where he's going with it. Games like Pac-Man. I mean, here's another one. Space Invaders. I mean, I don't know how they built those spaceships. They had the kind of technology, and then they were the dumbest spaceships ever who went in single file. Doop, 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 doop. I mean, that's got to be one of the most repetitive and almost annoying sounding video games ever that also turned out to be addictive and awesome. So I think that's where he's going with these. At least that's what I'm using as examples for some of my favorite really repetitive games.
You ready to go, Gunsage? You want me to?
I can go. Yeah, I thought that's what he was saying, but I wasn't entirely certain. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and use Pac-Man as an example, but that's not my game. Most of the time we would be thinking about a game like Pac-Man, but Pac-Man got kind of old for me over the years because, I mean, there's been so many versions of it, clones, ripoffs, fucking Pac-Mania, Pac-Land, Pac-Man 2, the new adventures. So I literally got tired of Pac-Man almost altogether until Champion Edition occurred on Xbox Live Arcade. Mine would be Balloon Fight. For those that don't know, it's basically like Joust, except you have balloons, and what you do is you try to flap your arms and get above people's, the enemy's balloons, pop them, and then whenever they hit the ground, go ahead and knock them out before they can go ahead and, you know, make more balloons and become more aggressive. Very repetitive, but very, very fun.
I got two. My first, Gunsage said I can't talk either. Gunsage mentioned, which is Joust. While not super repetitive like Pac-Man, it's pretty mindless and repetitive. Then my second one, I was kind of torn, but I'm going to go with this one because it's super old school and it was also super fun way back on the Atari. Burger Time. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't know what Burger Time is, hit Wiki because I'm not explaining it to you. But Burger Time, I mean, so much fun, but literally just like pretty much the same thing over and over again. So I'm going to go with those two. Is mine. Patrick, did you actually have one now that you've explained it?
Well, those were actually going to be the ones that I used. I guess Pong. What could be more repetitive than Pong? I mean, I don't know. Maybe a card game on PC or something like that, but Pac-Man and Space Invaders, and I guess Pong are probably three of the games that I played a lot of, I enjoyed, but when you think about it, they're ridiculously repetitive.
Let's hope that answered your question, Mr. G, Large G, to people who know him well, and let's move on now to our discussion topic. It's a discussion topic I've had for a while, but I've been a little leery to bring up. Basically, if you are around the internet, and especially the gaming internet sites and things, for any amount of time, you see this discussion come up of bloggers versus journalists. And you seem to see these guys who recoil in horror when they get called bloggers, and some who have a ton of fun making fun of being a journalist for video games. And yes, I'm doing the air quotes. And it gets to the point where it's ridiculous. ridiculous. You have these old print media guys who are making fun of, you know, bloggers. Oh, you're on that internet thing, that newfangled thing. And then you have bloggers screaming to be, we're credible. We do research. Yeah, well, half the time you're also talking out of your ass. My question to you, Patrick, is A, can internet bloggers or writers be considered journalists? And B, does it really matter?
Okay. A, are video game writers, et cetera, really, whether it's blogging or whether it's in print form, are they journalists?
No.
To be a journalist, I'm going to be very specific here, and this is how I feel. You know, to be a real journalist, as the name suggests, you have to be educated in the actual art of journalism. That's right. You have to have a degree showing your years of academic training and education. Also, on top of this, you need to have experience in the field, internship, apprenticeship, whatever you want to call it, in an actual place of journalism to be a journalist. Only after you complete your university educational training, receive your degree, complete your internship, then you can be considered a real, actual journalist. Actually, pretty certain that most of the bloggers, game reviewers, and game writers do not have these two essential qualifications to be actually called a journalist. You know, it doesn't mean that they can't write well or that they're not passionate. It doesn't mean that they can't do research. And it doesn't mean that I don't like their content. I do like their content for the most part, and I enjoy a lot of it. It does mean, however, that they are without a doubt not actually journalists. So that's... Does it matter was your second question?
Yes.
Well, no. It does. I don't really give a crap because I know they're not actually journalists. I'm not reading it for a journalistic point of view. I'm reading it really for another gamer's point of view. So, no, it doesn't matter to me, but they definitely are not journalists.
Gunsage, A, are they journalists? B, does it frickin' matter?
Well, that's actually a pretty comprehensive view of it as far as what a journalist is. And to be completely honest, I didn't know the term entirely because I always use the term writer. And the way I look at it is, if you write, then you are therefore a writer, and really, I don't care beyond that. As far as the experience and training and everything else like that goes, it looks great on paper. It looks great to an HR person. It's something that you can hang on your wall and show your friends, and they can go ahead and call you an asshole behind your back. That's wonderful. But I look at it and I go, so, okay, that's, if you're going by the, you know, the very definition, okay, that's exactly what a journalist is. However, no, it doesn't really matter. Ultimately, they're all doing just about the same job. Now, okay, as far as what I do versus what, say, Jim does, I'm not actually going out in the field interviewing people, talking to people, establishing contacts, things of that nature. So from that angle, I consider him to be a video game journalist only because he's actually doing shit. I'm sitting here and I'm going ahead and writing shit down, and that's really all I do. You know, if you want to go ahead and take it to that level, there's that. Now, if you still want to be literal, well, then there is no such thing as a video game journalist unless it's someone who literally has gone through all the college and all the prereqs and everything like that to be a journalist, but they specifically report on video games. You could still go ahead and say that. But again, it doesn't matter because I look at it as going, well, yeah, but they're out in the field, they're reporting, they're doing shit, they're getting paid for what they do. It doesn't really matter what their title is. So I personally believe it doesn't really matter.
Okay, Patrick is 100% correct if we were talking 30 years ago. Because there are no, and I don't give a shit if you've got a journalism degree from some of the finest journalist schools in North America or the world. Journalism is dead. I need to point you to nothing further than the TV or newspapers who haven't got a clue. So in my mind, why would you want to be a journalist in the first place? They're two-bit hacks who are just trying to create sensationalist headlines, which we have seen some gaming blogs do. And there's really, I mean, only maybe a half to 1% that are old school enough to do the Woodward and Bernstein investigative reporting and not, you know, not inject it with their political leanings or their personal feelings and this and that. So to me, journalism's dead. It just, and it has been. On top of that, The gaming bloggers who are good know exactly what they are and don't deny it. The ones that are screaming journalists are the ones that are trying to get you to look at them. It'd be the same as me running down the street naked. Oh, look, I did research. I'm a journalist. So, I don't care. Well, I read your stuff because it's good, not because you're a goddamn journalist or you've added some other title to you. Again, it's just a way for guys who are old print guys, out of touch, don't understand the internet, will never get the concept. It's why a lot of newspapers are going out of business, to put a category in the way of younger writers who don't have the training and background like Patrick's talking about. And he is correct. If you can, that's a great way to go. But it's really just being used as a barricade to make certain groups of people feel better about themselves over other groups of people. You combine that with the fact that CNN and Fox News pretty much will show you that journalism's dead and it's got a humongous slant anymore. There's no just honest reporting. Then I don't understand why these jackasses are even wanting to scream about being journalists. It's like, oh, really? Oh, so you're going from a leech to a fungus. Whoopee. But at the end of the day, though, here's the thing. Gunsage had it right, but I'm going to expand on it. If you're a writer, you write because you love writing. If you're writing about gaming and you're honest with your opinion and you write passionately and, for the most part, grammatically correct, which I don't do, people are going to read your stuff. And with people reading your stuff, you will gain a following and you will get where you're going. There's no need for the pandering. There's no need for the screaming and hollering. The reason that Jim Sterling is where he's at today is not because he sits down to write flame bait. I'd about bet my last dollar he never does. He does it because he writes what he knows. He writes his honest opinion and he gets out. And that's really, that's it. There's no even need for words such as blogger or journalist. If you're a writer, great, then write. And write good, passionate stuff that you believe in. And the rest is going to fall into place. I've always thought this argument was ridiculous. I had to finally bring it up because I've been seeing more and more about it on the internet and it was driving me bananas. Since we kind of slagged you off a little bit, Patrick, would you like a rebuttal? Would you like a rebuttal minute?
Oh, it's definitely, it doesn't matter whether 30 years ago the word journalism is different from now. People need to make a new name then, because, I think the fact, it's the so-called people who call themselves gaming journalists who annoy me, completely incorrect terminology. I mean, it's just terminology and it doesn't really matter, but you're not a journalist. I mean, what did they do? Look at themselves in the mirror and call themselves an astronaut as well? They don't have the credentials or the experience for that either, so they might as well call themselves an astronaut. I mean, when I was working at Safeway, when I was in whatever it was, high school and into university, there were all sorts of managers, right? We're talking, this is probably why I got annoyed in the first place. We're talking people that, because they worked there for more than 5 years, they got a little title on their chest saying, I'm the grocery manager, I'm the deli manager. And I would tell them when they piss me off, it's just because you've been here for 6 years and I've been here for 3 years. You make $14 an hour and I make $13 an hour. And that's where I got the whole look into the mirror thing. I said that exact same thing. I'm like, you haven't gone to school. You're not a manager. What do you do? Go home and say you're an astronaut too? It's just terminology that bugs me. I think we need a new name. I mean, why not? Being a video game writer is pretty new. Like you were saying, it wasn't around 30 years ago. Maybe video game writers should get together and call themselves something if they need to, I still don't think they're journalists, but they're definitely something, and they should give themselves an identity, and then we wouldn't have, a debate like this. It doesn't matter. I still read their stuff no matter what they call themselves.
Well, my point more was, too, is that the art of journalism, like it was 30 and 40 years ago, is deader than a goddamn hammer. And your manager point is perfect, but there's always exceptions. I just want the listeners to understand that, I've known a lot of guys who are damn good managers in a lot of different industries that have never had a bit of schooling, so don't think that we're hammering on the idiots like he's talking about, like the deli manager. He's got an IQ of 26, drooling out the other side of his mouth, but he showed up for work every day for the last 7 years. Okay, so we ended up slagging on somebody anyways. If you're a writer and you enjoy writing about video games, then write about video games. It really is. I mean, I wanted to do this discussion on it, but it really is just trying to make a class friction. Really? I mean, it's just, well, you haven't done enough. You're not a journalist. You're just a goddamn blogger. Well, you're both writers and you both suck. it's like, so screw you. Okay. That's been our discussion topic. If you'd like to shoot us insults and stuff, we can tell you how later. Fill up their Facebook because I don't ever check it, so I don't have to deal with it. let's move on to journalistic news. Yes, we are highly journalistic.
I'm an astronaut.
What did you say the other day? You were a what engineer? Dylanite?
Oh, a petroleum. Oh, yes. That's talk about false titles. Before I worked at Safeway, earlier high school, I was a petroleum transfer engineer. That's what I told the ladies. In other words, I jumped to the pump at a gas station.
Yes, so we're about to do some petroleum transferring on the news. Okay, our first story comes from none other than gaming blogger Jim Sterling. Damn sunglasses. Blizzard uses real ID shitstorm to make itself look good. This is like, I'm going to say it now before we get into discussing it. This is like the most brilliant PR thing I think I've seen this year. It's right up there. Blizzard caused a near riot recently when it proposed real ID initiatives, a scheme whereby forum posters would have to surrender their real names in order to be part of the community. Needless to say, gamers hated it. Well, more like trolls hated it. That was my words, not Jim's. And Blizzard did an impressive quick U-turn on the issue. Now the developer is spinning the whole situation into a positive win, claiming that it's a process of fan feedback worked. We aren't surprised to get feedback, said VP Michael Ryder. That's something that's part of our culture. We know we're fortunate to have a lot of passionate players that care about what we do, so we always get out to the players and give them a heads up on what we're thinking about doing and we are looking for their feedback. In this case, we got feedback. So all in all, the process worked. We put the word out, we got the feedback, we reconsidered. We made a change. We appreciate the fact that we have such passionate fans, read irate, near right, and stupid. It reinforces the notion that we're privileged to have those players that care and give us feedback. Obviously, he doesn't play games on their servers. Yada, yada, this is some serious spin. Patrick, it's going to be an A-B thing again so you can make fun of me. A, do you think this, is this like the best PR spin you've ever seen? And B, do you think this was a trial balloon just to see how much writing they were going to have when they actually do it some point down the road?
Well, to answer part A, yes, this is, if not, well, it's one of the best, I don't know what you want to call it, double takes or PR, what do we call that, spin doctors, you know, talk about trying to back away and look like you're intended to do this in the first place. I have one question here, really. Did Blizzard call up Sony and ask them for some advice on how to spin things around and not look like total hypocrites? Because, you know.
They must have hired somebody from the Sony spin department. I didn't even think about that. That's brilliant.
It's true. It's pretty much the case here. It's a house call from the spin doctor, I think. They caved in to a bunch of trolling little internet pricks who don't like the fact that they would have to act more mature and more civil if they used real names in the forums. You know, instead of using their real names, instead of being mature gamer, they can now continue to be jackasses and flame wars. It's an interesting point you brought up, and I didn't even think about it there for part B of the question, are they going to be doing this? Are they softening them up? That's actually a really interesting comment. And now that I think about it, they might be, you know, they're testing the waters, so to speak. I hope they are.
That's what I'm thinking. Blizzard, you know, Blizzard might have been bought out by the evil overlord Activision, but they've always had some really slick minds working for them. And they've always been kind of smart about how they trial balloon stuff, even back when they were their own company. The more I thought about this after I read this story, the more I went, I think that this is not the end of this. Gunsage, best PR ever, yes or no? And do you think they're going to try this again some point down the road?
Man, I'll tell you what, BP needs to use this tactic right here. That's just, I mean, what the hell? It's like saying, yeah, we meant to do that. It's like fucking rebound. Fucking throw a basketball at the goddamn goal and it goes all the way over. Rebound! What the hell? It's just, that's crazy. I mean, it's actually comical in a way. Ugh. I don't know, I'm looking at this and I'm going, you know, if they really did do it for feedback, which is very highly unlikely, okay, they got feedback. At least they listen to their forums, at least they're doing what they say they're doing, yada yada, integrity, this, that, and the other. But goddamn, that is very, very spinny. So, yeah.
Do you think, like Patrick and I were discussing, that they're going to try this again, that they were just testing the waters to see how bad the reaction was going to be?
Well, I mean, they're a corporation, so probably.
Yes, the evil corporation. All bow down. I have nothing else to say. I mean, it's brilliant. I think they probably stole BP's PR people, and that's why they couldn't keep their shit straight during the 100 days of oil. But I'm not surprised with Blizzard. As I said there in the little interlude, they have some pretty slick minds working for them. But I'm telling you, this is not the last. It may not be Blizzard, but this is not the last of the real ID thing. Gaming message boards are getting just out of effing hand, and it's going to happen. I understand there's privacy fears. I understand that there's some legitimate concerns on top of a bunch of tinfoil helmet concerns that could never happen in a billion years. But mark my words, little trollers out there, trolls and trollettes, this ain't going away. Maybe Blizzard's pulling in their horns for now. Maybe they won't bring it back out like I'm thinking they will. But believe me, I don't think we've seen the end of this. Okay, in our next story, and one that has even got to have the arrogant prick that founded Facebook a little concerned, Google talking to game devs for Facebook competitor. This comes from 1UP. Google is it in talks with major online game developers as it ramps up development on what appears to be a Facebook-like social networking service. According to the Wall Street Journal, who spoke with people familiar with the matter, the company is in discussions with Disney-owned Playdom, EA's Playfish, and Farmville creator Zynga, which Google recently invested between $100 and $200 million in. Google has not officially confirmed that a social network is in development, but given the aforementioned investment, products like Buzz and Wave, its hiring of industry veteran Mark Delora as its developer advocate for games, I guess he's like a lawyer for games, I don't know. okay, bad joke. And its search for a games project manager, an entry into the social networking space, or at least the social gaming space, seems practically inevitable. Now, for those of you that don't know, or those of you that don't pay that much attention to Google, they're pretty famous for taking things that are already out there, making them quite a bit better, and then dominating the market. They've done it with search engines, although their mail system has been a little shoddy as of late, had a few minor issues. They've pretty much done it with that. I use them for my instant messenger chat. So my bottom line is here is I'm thinking they're coming out with a Facebook clone. They're going to do it better, and they may actually get me to use social networking. Patrick, do you think they can pose a threat to Facebook? Yes or no?
Yes. I can see it now. WonderPod Online on Google Book. yes, definitely. I would love to see them. I'd love to see some competition for Facebook. Lately, honestly, Facebook has become a bit of a clusterfuck. It's a lot slower than it used to be. You can't add friends. I found this by using WonderPod Online. You can't add friends or even accept friends at a high frequency without getting a warning that tells you you're quote-unquote adding too many people and accepting too many people too fast. And they say that they're going to shut down your account for getting friends. Isn't that the entire point of Facebook? I mean, this and the service, as I said, it's slow as hell. So I like Facebook, and I really think competition would be good. Whether or not Google will have a better product, who knows, but it will scare the crap out of Facebook. I mean, yeah, I think it's a good idea. I think they can, and I really think they should.
Gunsage, you all ready for Google Book, or are you going to stick with Facebook?
Oh, I'm totally ready for Chrome Face. To be completely honest, I don't know. The only reason I really hopped on MySpace years ago was just, I was like, you know what, I'll see if anyone from high school's on there. Maybe go ahead and catch up with some old friends or something like that. And I think I had maybe a grand total of 20 people on there, and that's about it. And, you know, I put my playlist on there, and it was good HTML practice as far as modding the page, seeing how I could go ahead and modify what was already in the source code for MySpace Pimper and a couple of other things. And that's fine and all, but the novelty wore off pretty quickly. With Facebook, it's one of those things where, because of the notifications and the way the setup is, I can just kind of hop on, see what's funny, comment on it, you know, move on, keep it up, and just, you know, enjoy myself. I didn't feel like I was that connected with MySpace, and maybe it's because I didn't have very many friends on there, maybe it's just because, I don't know, but I'm looking at it now and I'm like, I really like Facebook, I really would not want to have to convert everything over, but was it really that big of a deal to even go ahead and do Facebook? Not really. I went ahead and put up about 20 funny pictures, a few profile pictures of me, updated my info, which was fun. And that novelty wore off after about a week, but even then, I had a shitload of friends. I'm able to go ahead and make sure that I'm up to date on different events and everything like that, group invites and what have you. And, I mean, I know that it would be better on Google, too, so unless there's a mass migration from Facebook to Google, it won't be a have to do, but it'll still be a want to do.
Google, I started using Google Chrome when it came out because I was having problems with Firefox and Internet Explorer. I've never gone back. Same with Google Talk, their instant messenger. I'm not a big fan, as I've made the point of pointing out thousands of times, of social networking things, except for Twitter. But if Google does it, I'll definitely be checking it out because, I mean, they just have this knack for taking stuff, not intellectual property, not breaking any laws, but taking the concepts that other people have created and making them better. And like Patrick said, with this security update of Facebook, I don't know, earlier this year, privacy settings have been a pain in the ass. This, you can't invite a bunch of people to your podcast or web page's fan page without getting accused of being a spammer. You know, there, and then privacy issues and copyright issues that have come up with Facebook. You know, the market is ripe for a good competitor to come in and knock them down. And I wouldn't put it past Google. I mean, Google doesn't do any too much. They've done a few things, but they don't do too much half-assed. So, okay. In our last story, and yes, it is our last story. Now, for those of you that listen to the show on a regular basis, you know I like to make fun of Halo. Gunsage hates it. The reason I like to make fun of it is because their fan base is so easy to rile. It's just a no-brainer. You have to put all that aside for just a second, because this next story has to do with Halo, but I do have some genuine concerns about it. So I'm there for you, fanboys, for this one time only. This comes to us from Game Informer. Headline, 343 Industries, Master Chief will return. You want to squeal or something, Patrick?
Oh, my God.
There we go.
Yes.
Animal voices last week, fanboys squealing this week.
Oh, Master Chief. I need a moment. I'll be
fap, 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 yeah.
And get yourself a towel for everyone.
Don't forget a towel.
Don't move. I'll go get you a towel.
Well, this story starting off brilliantly. With Halo 3's ending, we saw series protagonist, Master Chief, of the Southampton Master Chiefs, step out of the spotlight, and since then, new Halo games like ODST and this year's Halo Reach have focused on new lead characters. Fans of everyone Spartan need not worry, though. 343 Industries, which used to be known as 343 Studios, Microsoft's new internal division that is handling the Halo franchise, assures us that he will be back. Planet Xbox 360 has quotes from 343 Industries creative director Frank O'Connor given during Comic-Con last week. Says O'Connor, we'd have to be the world's biggest assholes not to follow through. We certainly haven't seen the last of Master Chief. Sadly, O'Connor didn't provide any further hints as to what's next for Master Chief or the Halo franchise, but with Reach releasing this fall, word of the next Halo game can't be terribly too far away. Here's my take, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to try and save you. There are just too many things going on here. I feel that this is probably going to be a disaster. It's probably going to sell millions, but 343 is an untested studio with the Halo franchise. Bungie's out the door. They know that Master Chief will sell millions if you just make him into a mailbox and turn it into a video game and you got to open and close the mailbox. So I see too many obstacles coming for any game done by anybody other than Bungie after Reach. And so while yes, you'll get Master Chief, I just have this feeling that it's just not going to be a good game and it's going to be a mess. I hope I'm wrong, but I almost, as a non-Halo fan but understanding how franchises work, I almost think they might have been better off to just leave well enough alone. Hopefully time will prove me wrong, but in this case, I'm not picking on the Halo franchise. I've seen this storyline before with other franchises over the years and it concerns me greatly. Patrick, share my concerns, or you, after telling off, or you just giddy as hell that Master Chief will be back.
Wait, you mean Master Chief will what? He's gonna return game sometime? Really? You're serious? Stop pulling my leg here. Seriously, he's coming back in an upcoming game? Maybe that you shoot people in? Holy cow, shocking news here. Of course he's gonna return. At the end of Halo 3, seeing drifting to a planet with dramatic music in the background. You know, this is like saying, hey, hey, guys, Mario will be back sometime. In a Mario-type game. You know, he's too big. He's too much money, like you said. It doesn't matter what he does in the game. His character is famous. You know, it's like Sonic the Hedgehog might make an appearance in an upcoming Sega game, but we won't tell you any more info. It's just a rumor. You know, of course, the big Spartan 117 will be back. And I actually look forward to playing a Halo-type game with Master Chief in it again. You know, I like the games. They're fun. It's only a matter of time. And, you know, in it's kind of silly news because I think it was pretty obvious that whether or not they're going to succeed, and I have my doubts just like you there, Bruce, it's going to happen. I mean, it's bound to happen.
So you're saying that at this point he's attained Mario status, and even if the game's only mediocre, you'd probably purchase it anyway?
He's not. It depends on who you talk to. Like, he's not of Mario status for someone like Gunsage, myself, someone who's played Mario for generations of consoles. But for the Halo fans, the rabid fans that, you know, their first console was an Xbox and they're now on the Xbox 360, he is of that status, definitely.
So he's not to you personally? That was more my question.
No. For me, I mean, he's a cool character and I like him, but no, I've been around a lot longer than that. For him to be in a Mario status, he has to make really good games that I want for at least another one or two generations of consoles.
Gunsage, since we've kind of covered a lot of the bases, let me just hit you with this. Do you think they have any possibility of pulling out a good game, or is this just going to be crap with Master Chief stuck on the front?
I am psyched. Now, here's the reason. Well, no, I'm not trolling. Here's the reason I'm psyched. Okay. I am not a big Halo fan. I never have been. I probably never will be. I mean, I'd be willing to give Halo 3 a shot if everyone else was playing it still, but the only person I still see playing it is Carlos. So, no. I mean, Halo's not for me anyway. I didn't like the original. I played the second one. I rented the second one. I played it for 5 minutes, went, oh, it's the original, and went ahead and turned it off and didn't play it again. And you know, I've been wanting to try the third one. I've been kicking myself for not trying it, but I'm just like, no, dude, no. It's going to be the same thing. There's not going to be anything awe-inspiring in it that's totally new that you have to play. And that's the reason I'm psyched. This is an entirely new studio. They're going to go ahead and try to bring back Master Chief and do all this stuff with him. Maybe it'll be different. Maybe it'll be exactly the same. Who can really say? For me, I'm a skeptic anyway, so if it turns out to be a piece of shit, I can at least say, I told you so. But if it's something that actually turns out to be good, okay, I'll definitely go ahead and give it a shot. At least then I'll be impressed.
Well, you've heard from our non-Halo fanboy, our sort of Halo fanboy. As I said, I don't really care either way. If it works great, fine. If it's a tanking pile of shit, fine. It's still going to sell millions to the sheep. I just am really concerned. I'm on the opposite of Gunsage. I'm just concerned with a new studio with a franchise character this old, you know. Because to a point, I don't think there's going to be another Mario or Zelda or Sonic. I think we've kind of moved past that. Master Chief has a good shot, but like Patrick, I think it's going to take another couple console cycles before you can legitimately and rationally, notice I said the word rationally, compare him to Mario or Sonic or whoever your favorite old school game character that's been around a million years is. Mine's personally one of the worms from Worms Armageddon. Okay. Gunsage, you said you had a gamer dick. Let's go to gamer dick.
I do indeed have a gamer dick. I have his information as well, and I have exactly what he did.
Ooh, wow. You were like going CIA assassin on him, aren't you?
I do too.
Tear it up.
Okay. So Alien Swarm is a fun little game that a lot of people have been playing recently on Steam, especially because it's fucking free. You can't beat that. So I would almost describe it as sort of a sci-fi moody kind of, like a sci-fi moody kind of Smash TV or Total Carnage of sorts. You can tell that it's inspired from games like Left 4 Dead and Half-Life and things of that nature, and that's cool, especially because that means that there's an emphasis on teamwork. Now, I say teamwork because often there are some missions where if you don't have a tech, you can't play the mission. You need at least one tech and at least one other person in there with you. Okay, but that also means that if the tech dies, the mission has to restart. You know, it's pretty intensive as far as that goes. That's why the roles and the classes are actually pretty significant. So it both is and isn't like Left 4 Dead, too. You know, there's a lot of emphasis on teamwork, but teamwork from almost a Team Fortress kind of perspective, and I've just basically rattled off like five fucking Valve games all at once, so you know how awesome it is already. But basically put, I go ahead and start up the game, and I choose to be a tech because, I still have some achievements I need to get as a tech anyway, and plus I'm like, well, I get to go ahead and do these hacking mini games, and I love that stuff anyway. This guy, Innocent Butter, is the leader of this room. We've got three other people. The first round, he just plays as your basic heavy weapons or whatever. I'm playing as a tech. There's another dude that's playing as a medic, and another dude that's playing as, I don't even remember what the fuck, probably another tech. Anyway, he's running ahead. And so I'm trying to keep up with him, and every so often, I'll get shot at by him. He'll just be taking random pot shots, even if enemies aren't there. And so I try to stay out of his way, thinking, oh, okay, he saw something. Wait, there's nothing over there. What the fuck is he doing? Is he just fucking with me? What's he doing? And it gets worse and it gets worse to where he's hitting a little bit of everyone whenever they're playing, things of that nature. And eventually it comes down to he's running so far ahead that he's antagonizing the entire, you know, alien swarm. So we keep on getting, you know, just, you know, well, swarmed by aliens. And I'm doing all I can to keep up with him. Meanwhile, the two other motherfuckers get completely swarmed and killed. So now we no longer have a team medic. I'm trying to keep up with his ass. I get swarmed because he's not stopping to help my ass out. And so I die, and then he dies not even 5 seconds later. Okay, match gets ready to restart. I'm like, maybe we need another medic or something like that, you know? So he opts to be a medic. He has all this healing shit and everything like that. Same fucking strategy. This guy runs the fuck ahead. We're trying to keep up with him. The same two people die in the same fucking area. So I'm trying to keep up with him, and I start to get ahead of him, and he sees aliens, so he starts blind firing all over the place and fucking kills me with friendly fire. And his response to this, after all this bullshit bastardy, him supposedly being the team leader and all this, is, whoops, sorry! I let the mission play out. He dies, you know, obviously, not even 5 seconds later, meaning whenever it started counting down saying, you don't have a tech, retard, we're going to restart the mission, he died before that even got a chance to go ahead and count down. I collect my experience and I get right the fuck out of the game. It is literally the only time I've ever been frustrated in that game because up to that point, I've actually been a pretty good player, whether I'm the last one standing or not. And, you know, I try my best to actually work as a team, keep up, go ahead and cover people's backs, things of that nature. And then here's this motherfucker basically just doing his own thing, not playing in a team at all, assuming point every single time and getting us killed by rushing ahead because then that antagonizes the aliens, causes the AI to want to go ahead and come from the back, take out the other people who aren't able to keep up because they're actually trying to work as a team. Meanwhile, I'm trying to play wingman for a dude who doesn't fucking know what he's doing. So, yes, Innocent Butter, you are not so motherfucking innocent, and I think you're a bit, God damn it, what's the term? Fucking chowdery. I don't remember now.
Patrick.
He's a dick.
Yes, he's a dick. We'll help.
The milk's gone bad.
Oh, you meant churny or something like that?
Something, yeah.
Patrick, do you have any from last night's melee, or should I move on to mine?
Well, not really. And I guess I could call out Glacinator as being semi-dickish, but he's not an official dick, because I think a lot of our bumping into each other was accidental, or at the least, it wasn't trying to pin each other to a wall, so I don't think I'll take him as an official dick. I think you've got one lined up anyways from Hydro Thunder.
Well, you'd have to call me as an official dick, because while I wasn't trying to pin you to the wall when I was hockey-pucking you, I was trying to slow you down to pass. So, Glacinators might have been accidental. Mine weren't. But I would not do what the gentleman did that I'm about to talk about. His name is Stylee, with an X on either end of his name. Now, Stylee is spelled, of course, STYL33. And if Patrick hadn't actually looked up the rest of his gamer tag, this wouldn't be as funny as it is. But his motto is, have fun, respect. And he's this, like, reggae dude. I mean, he's got the dreadlocks, the whole nine yards. You think he's a really laid-back cat. And a lot of people I know that are into reggae music, smoking a little ganja, are usually pretty laid-back, really good folks. And this guy is not one of those people. Now, as I said earlier in the show, Glacinator, Pat, and I played for quite a while, just the three of us. Then we let in the random world of the internet. First few races went okay. It was fun. I won a couple. Pat won one. Glacinator won a couple. You know, it was going good. The randoms won a few. Then we got into the last race of the night. Pat was going to have to go soon. I said, oh, you got time for one more. We start racing along. I'm in fifth or sixth place, maybe. And I all of a sudden see out of the side of the screen the nose of this boat coming dead on at my boat as I'm turning in a corner. He hits me in the side, smacks me into the wall, turned off of me, which I have to give him credit for having skills to pull that move off, and then just kept running down the track, or water, or whatever you want to call it. Okay, fair enough. One time, I'm not going to bitch too much. He didn't put me too far behind him. I get back ahead of him. He does it again. I get back ahead of him. He does it a third time. On the third time, I got pissed. And I went, okay, I'm currently leading the race. He was in second. I'm going to just forgo the win and take your ass out. And that's exactly what I did, because it's the way he did it. He wasn't just bumping his boat into mine, slowing me down a little bit like I was just talking about to Patrick. No, he was just head-on ramming me, trying to smash me into the wall, and then using that to turn off of me and gain the lead, and kept doing it repeatedly. So when we got toward the last corner of the race, I wrecked him. So, Stiley, you may be having fun and respect, but you sure as hell weren't respecting me last night in that race, so you're a dick. And I feel good about taking you out, even though I lost to Glacinator. So, Patrick, anything to add to the... You were kind of a little bit further back, so you probably didn't see any of this disaster, did you?
I think I saw you take him out, because I think I saw you wreck him and it explode, so...
Yeah, which took me out, too, so it wasn't exactly... I've done better takeout maneuvers than that. But yes, Mr. Stiley, you're a dick. I'd race against you again, but I'd boot you again, too, if you were choosing to race like that. And that's been Gamer Dick. Shout-outs. Patrick, you got any shout-outs, new and exciting shout-outs for this week?
Well, I do. They're not really new and exciting, but I'm going to have to give them out because I'm going to give an absolutely love-filled shout-out, Wonderpod shout-out, to two of our big fans. Both of them have created some pretty cool fan art of Wonderpod fan art that can be seen on our Facebook page. Super fan who now likes to call himself Captain Taco has yes, that's his new name. I'm sure people know who I'm talking about. Has created some very nice art of the three of us. You can check that out, like I said, on our Facebook page, based basically on a combination of whatever pictures he could find of us and our avatars. He has future plans, which are hush hush, secret, to go along with that fan art, so I'll leave it at that. And another fan, someone actually who kind of, he made a comic of the events that Bruce was just talking about, really. It's kind of funny because it goes along exactly with the Gamer Dick segment. It was a good segue. Glacinator was around during the time that you were having problems as well with this reggae gamer guy who has respect in his gamer tag or whatever. He, Glacinator, created a very funny web comic based on Wonderpod and based on the game we played. So check that out, and a really big shout-out to both of them.
We need to get some more fans.
Yeah, we need more shout-outs, more different people.
Oh, I'm kidding. I love Glacinator. Yeah, Captain Taco or Wussy Wasabi or whatever he's calling himself this week. I have no comment. Gunsage, I don't have any for this week. Gunsage, you said you had a couple, though?
I have a few. I'm going to just run through them real quick because I literally have a 32-comment post asking if people wanted shout-outs.
Give us five new ones, then. No disrespect,
I'm just going to run through them. Well, I'm going to highlight one because she admitted she normally does not listen to the show, but she said she is going to because I'm going to give her a shout-out. And that is Lori from the forums. And she goes ahead and writes stuff for the forums for the main page and also on the forums every so often and everything. She's around a little bit more often now. And I'm just going to run through the rest real quick. I am told to give a shout-out to Hobo Poop in reference to Hobo Quest. Lando Calrissian again, Ricardo Fumar, Focus wanted a shout out.
Is this a shout out or a do not fly list?
Let's see. And I'm gonna give Dan a shout out, even though he probably doesn't want one anyway. So thanks guys for commenting, And thanks for listening to the show.
I do have to say I've read Lori's recent work. Much better than her start, but still a little too Facebook-y for my taste. But she is improving, so I will give her props for that. Yes, that is correct, people. I do read the site. I just don't comment. Yes, I'm a dick. So what? Like everybody doesn't know that. Look at Glacinator's comment. I think I'm getting more famous for my temper than I am for me. Which is fine. I don't care. I really don't care anymore. When I'm pissed, I'm pissed. I'm honest about it. Unlike some people, Wussy Wasabi, also known as Captain Taco, also known as Asshole Face. Anyways.
Oh, poor Captain Taco.
Butt Pirate of the North Sea.
Just wait till his future plans. The more well, you hey, say that, the more things are going to happen to your character.
Oh, well, I don't care. See, that's the thing. I don't care because it's fan art. He can do whatever he wants. But if he's smart, he will look at Glacinator's for reference. Because while that did not put me in the most positive light possible, not that I'm a choir boy to begin with and never claimed to be, it is fucking funny. That is just funny. I somehow became a black man. I'm not sure how that works.
And a red man.
Yep. Well, no, I kind of do turn that red when I'm super pissed off, which Gunsage has seen like a small piece of once, but nobody else really has, but I don't quite turn that red. But
you channeled your ancient Indian spirit.
Well, I do have a 16th Cherokee. I mean, maybe that's it.
There you go. Yep.
Yes, but I'm not claiming I'm a member of the Cherokee tribe like a lot of the white trash around here. Anyways, that's a whole other topic. Save me, Patrick. Give them the Facebook.
For those of you who wish to join up on Facebook, we are on Facebook. The name to search for and to ask request is WonderPod Online. Join up. There's over 100 of us now. Join the fun.
And if you joined up on Facebook, subscribe on iTunes. I don't care if you listen to the show. Just kick up our numbers so I feel better about myself.
I was going to say, give us a positive rating, too. That is one important factor of getting our podcast noticed. Apparently, the higher the rating, the higher the chance of showing up in random searches for various podcasts.
Oh, really? Well, you're the captain of the whoring department. Get on your emailing list. Start getting people that I don't care if they're like Chris's, which was hilarious.
It's also interesting that it's region locked, that the Canadian comments and the American comments of the show, you can't see them unless you switch regions. But they're there. There's people commenting good things. So I'd like to thank them for their support.
All right, you heard about the Facebook. We've hoard iTunes. We're the biggest sluts on the planet. But you can also reach us via email. And that email is morphinenation23@gmail.com. Morphinenation23@gmail.com. Until next episode, I will be sucky sucky $5 on the corner. I'm out of here.
That's for the people last week.
Who really loved that?
Yep. Apparently. They like me quacking more than talking. It's sad, but true.
Well, you go with your strengths. You go with your strengths.
That's true. That's
true. See you, people. Okay.
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea? Lol, nobody because of BP.
I'm going to put that on the end. Who lives in a pineapple under the sea? Nobody now because of BP. That's good, Gunsage.